Healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health, optimum levels of wellness, want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life more. That's what I attempt to bring you in each of the shows on Healthy Alternatives. Every week, I like to begin a show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can really have an impact on you. What I want to talk about is bipolar disease being diagnosed in kids over the past 10 years has gone up 4,000%. It looks like, though, a lot of psychiatrists are starting to back away from that diagnosis because they're realizing this increase is really absurd. It turns out that the drug companies are probably behind much of this growth because 4 times as many children are covered by Medicaid receive antipsychotic drugs versus children whose parents have private health insurance. And one of the reasons may actually be because a lot of psychiatrists don't accept Medicaid. And so that means that parents have to take their kids to a pediatrician or family doctor, and they may not actually be qualified to make a psychiatric evaluation. So it's becoming quite apparent that the diagnosis of bipolar disorder is heavily misused, and the children are being mislabeled, and they're being put on a lot of drugs. And as Dr. Steven Sederberg said, a child psychiatrist with Maple Grove-based Prairie Care said, this is a diagnostic fad. Now, the definition of bipolar in what's called the Statistic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders that psychiatrists use for diagnostic purposes was actually written for adults, not for children. Because some of the symptoms are there, including long bouts of depression and mania, delusion and self-aggrandizement, hypersexuality, and other risky behaviors that impact their work and social lives. We're not talking about the same thing with kids, and the profession is actually looking at reconsidering the diagnosis of kids, except they may not be taking the kids off of drugs in this new diagnosis. As a matter of fact, they may be giving the kids more than one drug at a time, so that what we're looking at are kids taking these drugs who may be actually increasing their weight. They may be moving into having diabetes. All kinds of things are starting to come up for these kids that are coming from taking these drugs. A lot of this work came from a Dr. Joseph Biderman from Harvard Medical School. He's a world-renowned child psychiatrist whose work actually helped fuel this explosion of bipolar disorder diagnosis. Turns out between the year 2000 and 2007, he earned at least $1.6 million in consulting fees from drug makers. However, he did not report a large portion of this income to university officials. In addition, he actually wrote a memo to the drug companies, and this showed up in documents produced in state lawsuits against the drug companies, suggesting that he promised a positive study before he actually did the research. Oops. Now, there's also a lot of pressure on parents to prescribe these drugs for kids, and it can get to the point where the kids can actually be taken away from their parents for not giving them these drugs. So with these behavior problems, we really need to look at what can we do to really help these kids and help them effectively, and that's not necessarily taking drugs. So that's the issue area you need to be aware of. Bipolar has gone up tremendously and absurdly in a very short period of time. Today, I'm going to be talking to Donna Fisher. Donna is a business owner, best-selling author, certified speaking professional. She's written the book Power Networking, People Power, and Professional Networking for Dummies. She and I have written a new book that will be coming out November 16th called Switched On Networking, Balance Your Brain for Networking Success. We're going to be talking about networking, how it can really assist you in your life in accomplishing what you would like to accomplish. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can click on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com and you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I actually put out a monthly e-newsletter that is available to you by going to teplitz.com, clicking on the home button, and you'll be able to sign up there. It has health, nutrition, wellness tips that I don't cover on the Healthy Alternatives radio show. Every week I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's new discoveries, the latest information about healthy alternatives that you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. This one's a little different. It's stats that are coming out now showing, believe it or not, we are living in a more peaceful world. Yes, there are thousands of people dying in Africa, Pakistan, terrorist bombings, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and Mexico. However, historically, the world has never been as peaceful as it is. The thesis comes from three new books. One's by Harvard psychologist Steven Pinker. And what the statistics are revealing is dramatic reduction in war deaths, family violence, racism, rape, murder, all sorts of mayhem. And what one of the things that they're attributing this to is, and in his book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined, he's pointing out that the world is actually a lot smarter and more educated. When that happens, people become more peaceful. As a matter of fact, looking at the notion of IQ tests, kids now compared to kids in the 1910 area are now at near genius levels. They've actually been getting a lot smarter. And with being smarter, it appears that people use that to not be as violent. So, for example, the number of people killed in battle, calculated at 100,000 per population, has dropped 10,000-fold over the centuries as civilizations have evolved. Before there were organized countries, battles killed on average around 500 out of every 100,000 people. In 19th century France, it was 70 out of 100,000. In the 20th century wars that we had, World War I, World War II, some genocide, it was 60 out of 100,000. And now it's down to 3/10 of a person per 100,000. In 1946, there were fewer than 20 democracies around the world. Now there are close to 100. The number of authoritarian countries have dropped from almost 90 to about 25. With that, the secret police and those kinds of things go way down in terms of the numbers and mayhem that they're causing. And so with all of this, it's actually becoming safer in the world. Even though when you look at the media and they're highlighting who killed who today, if you look at this from a much bigger standpoint, we're actually safer now than we probably have ever been. And that is a healthy breakthrough. Before I bring on my guest, Donna Fisher, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Donna Fisher. Donna is a business owner, best-selling author, and certified speaking professional. More importantly, she's been an introvert who learned how to network, and for over 18 years, she's been teaching others how to effectively communicate, connect, and create opportunities. Her books are Power Networking, People Power, Professional Networking for Dummies. And on November 16th, she's releasing a book she did with me called Switched On Networking, Balance Your Brain for Networking Success. Her books have been recommended on Time Magazine and used as textbooks at major universities. She's been quoted in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune. And Donna has taught thousands of people how to build a network of support that enhances their personal and professional success. So Donna, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you. I'm so pleased to be here with you, Jerry.
So Donna and I have been working on this book, Switched On Networking, which brings her principles together with this concept of brain rewiring that I do using simple body movement exercises called brain gyms. So we want to talk about networking and how it can help you in your life and how what I've added to it will just plus the whole experience. So Donna, first of all, why is it important to network?
Networking is important because it really satisfies some basic human needs and desires. It satisfies our desire to feel connected, to feel like we belong, to be part of something bigger than ourselves, to have a place to contribute, and to really feel the comfort of knowing that we have a support system that's there for us that we can call on and count on. So it has, you know, so many people think of it as simply a business thing, and yet it's so much more than that. And even regarding healthy alternatives, I mean, there's research out there that shows that having a strong network really is, it's a healthy way to live our lives. It reduces stress.
As a matter of fact, some of the research looks at people who go to church and they actually live longer than mm-hmm. other folks. Mm-hmm. And the work environment, employees say one of the things that they want is to have their work to have meaning.
Yes.
And so networking is a way of, I guess, creating more meaning for folks?
Creating more meaning, creating more satisfaction, more fulfillment, because actually when we're in a strong network and we're supporting each other, we're giving, we're contributing, we know that we're making a difference, that does create the meaning.
Now, since you're an introvert, to begin with, how in the world did you push yourself into becoming a networking expert? You got to talk to people.
Yeah, I know. So you say introvert in the beginning. And the interesting thing was, Jerry, after teaching this for about 7 years, I was feeling real good about myself. I thought, okay, I'm going to go back and take one of those personality tests again. And I still test introvert. And so it's not that that part changed necessarily. There are aspects of that that I learned to accept, and aspects of that that I learned to appreciate, and yet at the same time, areas where I learned to grow. and really feel comfortable and confident reaching out to people and having conversations, and yet still knowing how to manage my energy as an introvert so that I am available to people. But the thing was years ago that when I had this thought, I wanted a desire to have my own business, I thought, well, to do that, I'm going to have to step outside of my comfort zone. And I saw that networking was really going to be important for me to move forward and accomplish what I was choosing to accomplish in my life.
And now you've been successful. Yay!
Yeah. And part of it is, part of that has to do with the style of networking that I teach, which is very much about having it be a natural, easy, fun thing to be able to do. And that there's many misperceptions, misconceptions out there about what networking is that has it be awkward and uncomfortable for people. And my goal is to switch that, which again ties into the switched on networking and utilizing the brain just to switch some of those misconceptions.
Now, times are tough out there, and should everybody be attempting to do as much networking as they can with what's going on to help them through this period, would you say?
Well, and ideally, the ideal is to be networking all the time. Don't wait until times are tough. And that is what happens for some people. They wait until they're out of work, or they wait until times are tough. And the ideal is have networking be a natural part of what you're doing all the time. And then when there's a situation where it's even more important, your network is strong and close and easy to reach, and it's easy to call and connect with people. So, yes, if you haven't been networking and times are tough, then start networking and just remind yourself to keep to keep networking even when things improve, because that's what's going to serve from, rather than having real highs and real lows, more consistency in our life.
Now, is being an effective networker, is that about attitude or is it about the skills?
It's very much a blend. And, when I'm leading my workshops, I always indicate, I can teach all the skills of networking, but without the positive attitude about it, you're going to miss out. And we can go through and really address the attitude side of it, but without the skills, you're going to miss out. It's the blend of the two that makes the biggest difference, because if you've got the skills, but you're missing the attitude, then you can come across as very mechanical and like a robot. If you can have the right attitude but not have the skills, then you can still miss out on connecting people and having it lead to positive results. So that's part of what I really like about the switched on information, is we really get to address all aspects of it.
Yeah, and the way the book is designed is, in each chapter, Donna gives you the technique part, the attitude part, and at the end of each chapter, I take you through the brain rewiring process so you can switch yourself on for what you've just read from Donna's material. So this is kind of, I view this as one of the first books you can read, and at the end of each chapter, you can be on for what you read, as opposed to have that little voice go off saying, I can't do that. No way, Jose. Forget
or, be going, okay, that seems like a good idea, but not really knowing how to move forward. So, yeah, it's wonderful to give them all of the tools to be able to take the information and implement it in their lives right away.
Now, what are the most important mental shifts, that side of the equation, that people can look at making to be more effective as a networker?
Yeah, there are so many things mentally that get in the way for people. So often people will have a thought about calling someone to ask for support or help, and what gets in the way is, oh, well, I don't want to bother them, or they're going to be too busy, or I should know how to do this on my own, or I don't want to look weak or needy by reaching out and asking for help or support. And so, or a fear of rejection, that's a big one. And all of those are just things we've made up about networking that really aren't really what it's all about, and that get in the way. And that's part of what we can do, is shift that so people realize it's not about bothering people. It's about acknowledging people for the value, for what we value them for, and for what they bring to the plate, that we can reach out and be of support to one another. And it's not about rejection. It's simply about me going out and doing enough research to find the right people. If people don't have what I'm looking for, they're not rejecting me personally. It's really, it can be a major mind shift that makes a difference in someone's networking effectiveness.
And I know one of the things that you also focus in on is for somebody who you're networking with and asking for things to ask them, is there a way that I can assist you?
Yes. So I really emphasize that networking is a two-way street and that I'm building my network not just for me. I'm building my network so that I have more to offer others, because when I have a strong network, then I have more available to offer everybody in my network. And the idea is when you're asking for support or ideas or contacts, then always come back and see what you can offer people. You know, thank you, what can I do for you? So that, you know, it doesn't feel so uncomfortable asking if you know you're also going to do your best to give back.
Yeah, because you might actually be calling somebody for X, and in saying that thing to them, the why that they need, you may mm-hmm. have the actual perfect thing that they need for what they're looking for.
Yeah, the thing is, you never know. And yeah. For me, that's the exciting part of networking. I mean, you'll have something in particular in mind that you're looking for, and you may have someone in particular that you think is going to provide that. But the truth is, you never know. But when you call that person and you make that request and you engage in conversation, it may lead to something totally different. And the important piece in there as well, Jerry, is the listening, so that you're really engaged and listening to people, because you never know when they're going to say something that will open the door for you to make a request or that will give you an idea on how to be of service.
So in listening to Donna, I want us to pay attention, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about the social media part of networking that's out there now. And so I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Donna Fisher, and continue with her in just a moment.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz's DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, these techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too. Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
So my guest today is Donna Fisher. She's a business owner, best-selling author. She's a certified speaking professional. She's gone from being an introvert who learned how to network that for over 18 years now, she's teaching others how to effectively communicate, connect, and create opportunities. She's written the books Power Networking, Power People, Professional Networking for Dummies. Her latest book coming out November 16th is with me as the co-author, is Switched On Networking, Balance Your Brain for Networking Success. And Donna, in coming back, now, I said we talk about social media. How do you see social media in the networking mix, and is it replacing the face-to-face networking?
I don't see it as replacing face-to-face. I think as humans, we'll always have that desire to connect personally, to have face-to-face interaction. I think there's much more that we can do face-to-face and even, you know, phone-to-phone conversations than we can sometimes accomplish in other ways. However, social media is in giving us new venues and new ways to connect with people, to reach people, and to stay in touch with people, and to build relationship. And I will admit that when the whole social media thing first started, I was very skeptical. It's like, now how can this work? And then as I began to venture into a little bit, I saw again the value of being able to the blend of online and social media. So it's not one or the other. It's the blend of the two that's very powerful.
There was actually a report in the newspaper the other day about a study done and finding people on Facebook, those who have more friends in certain areas of the brain actually have more connections in their own brain. They don't know exactly what it means yet, but social media appears to potentially affecting the way our brain functions as well.
Well, now that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
And with the work that Donna and I've done in the book, we're looking to take your social networking part, because we have sections on it in there. Mm-hmm. And those attitudes, like Donna said, when she first thought about it, she said it won't work, or you're at a point where you're saying, I don't have time, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And we're looking to create that brain change for you and change it immediately using those very simple movement exercises that we use called brain gyms. Now, talk a little bit more about how people can balance online and face-to-face network. How do you see that playing out, Donna?
Well, one of the ways is when you do meet someone face-to-face, then whichever online social media sites you participate in, go and see if they're on there, and then, you know, send out a message to connect with them online. So now you've got the face-to-face connection and you've got the online connection. You can go online and say it was great to meet you at such and such an event. So you're blending the two. And then the other way as well, you may connect with someone online and then, you know, see that they're going to be at an event, or you happen to meet them at an event and you remember that they are on your Facebook page or whatever media site it is. And then you can, that's like a conversation, Pete, you get to you can comment on that. So it's cross-referencing the two and using the two. I was hosting a virtual mingle event, and what everybody did while they were on the phone and meeting each other in this virtual mingle is they were sitting at their computer and they went onto the social media sites. And as they were meeting people on the phone, they started searching for them on the social media site, and they were able to see and talk to them and immediately connect. And it added a whole new element.
So by going to them on the social media site, they were able to get more information specifically about the person's interest and what they do and those kinds of things immediately. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of reading somebody's resume, so you can skip over all of that and get to some real meat.
Exactly. You can get to the meat more quickly. And there's something, too, about even when you're talking to somebody.
Wait a minute. I'm a vegetarian, so it's getting to the carrots.
Oh, I love that. It's getting to the carrots. I love it. I am, too. So that's good. Good play on words there. I like it.
Good.
There's something about, even when you're talking to somebody on the phone that you haven't met before, being able to go online and get a visual of them, to see a photo of them. There's something about that as well. There's probably something that goes on in the brain right there, Jerry, when you're able to match the voice with the visual and the information and what you're reading and what you're hearing.
Well, you know people who've talked on the phone for over long periods of time, and they finally meet and say, gee, you're nothing like I thought you would look like.
Yes.
And so you are giving the brain more information and rounding out what the picture looks like physically.
Yes.
What stops people from getting the most from networking? What do you see as the big issue or two that stops them?
Well, one thing is that they're not sure how. They don't have the training and the skills. They haven't been given. In our culture, lots of times people think, well, everybody just naturally knows how to network, rather than that there is some skill training. And so if people don't have the training, then they may be a little bit uncomfortable or concerned about what's appropriate, or how do I follow up, or what do I do to stay in touch. So there's just that, there's that piece. So part of the thing is to, you know, give yourself permission to learn what's appropriate, to understand how networking works, and then you'll feel more comfortable in getting out there and participating in a way that you feel good. Because the more confidence you have, the more you're able to get your attention off of yourself, put your attention on other people, and therefore be connecting and out there networking in a positive way.
I have an idea. Why don't I give the listeners and you an experience that we have in the book to show you how your thoughts about networking are actually affecting the whole physiology of your body.
Beautiful.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Donna, are you in a position where you can actually stand up while we're talking?
Okay. I am.
And so for any listeners, if you can also stand up and join Donna as I give the instructions, what you're going to be doing is you're going to think of a negative situation you had networking. If you can't think of anything network, just think of a work situation that was really negative. And then I'm going to ask you to focus in on your physical posture, your breathing, pain that you have in the body, what's going on in mind. And just observe. Don't try adjusting your body. Just observe when I give you each of those little cues to focus. Okay. So Donna, you're standing.
Yes.
And listeners, you're standing. And now close your eyes, Donna, and listeners.
Yes.
And now think of that negative networking situation. And really intensify that negative thought. And now, without adjusting your body, just observe your physical posture. Donna, if you want to comment as we're going through, what are you observing?
Shoulders forward a little bit.
Yeah, head, people will... Go ahead.
And my head, rather than being like straight forward, it's aimed down just a tiny bit. Towards the floor.
And people, when I do this in programs and my seminars and keynotes, will say slumped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now close your eyes again, Donna. Go back to that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing. Focus in on that. What are you observing?
It was shallow. So then when you said focus on it, I took a deep breath.
And that's what people say also. Okay. Now, close your eyes again.
Mm-hmm.
Get back to the thought. Do you notice any pain in your body?
Not pain per se, but an itch in my back.
Okay, and
back.
Some people will notice pain, some won't. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And close your eyes last
mm-hmm.
time
mm-hmm.
and observe what's going on in your mind when you have these thoughts. And what are you observing, if anything?
Kind of a chaotic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. People sometimes describe that as like churning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now let's show you the difference, because what I want you to do is, because physiologically your whole body's being affected, let's flip it now.
Mm.
Think of a very positive network situation
mm.
or a positive work situation if you don't have a networking one. Let me know when you got that, Donna. And I'll tell you to respond after you've looked at all of them. So just look at them now. Focus in now on your physical posture. Focus in on your breathing. Any pain? And what's going on in your mind? Okay, so physical posture, Donna, what was it this time?
Oh, wow. That was amazing. Immediately, I stood up straighter. I wasn't like consciously making myself do it. And my head raised a little bit. I'm standing up straighter.
Okay, breathing.
Breathing was natural, felt just more natural and deep and flowing, mm-hmm. easy.
Great. And those tend to be the responses I do get, upright and deeper. Was your itch still there or is that gone?
It's not there.
It's not there. Okay. And a lot of people will actually, the pain disappear when I do this mm-hmm. at my programs. And did you notice a change in your mind?
At peace.
At peace. Yeah. So
calm. That was awesome.
So when you're into the flow of networking, as Donna teaches you in the book, Switched On Networking, Balance Your Brain for Sales Success, and then I come back and switch you on, so you're in this high-energy physical way of being. So it's something that you can do and do immediately. Now, for listeners who want to take advantage of getting the book, we have a special offer that Donna and I have put together just on November 16th. If you go to the website switchedonnetworking.com, that's switchedonnetworking.com, you'll be able to click and order the book from Amazon and then come back and enter in your receipt number. And we have friends of ours who are internationally known speakers who have all put digital gifts on this special website, switchedonnetworking.com, that you'll be entitled to once you purchase the gifts on November 16th only, and you can take advantage of that offer. Donna, any last comment before we conclude?
I am simply pleased to have had to have this chance to partner with you, Jerry, and combine our information, and it supports my desire to really have people get to the place where networking can be a natural, fun, positive, and powerful thing in their life. So thank you for that.
Thank you. And Donna, thanks for being a guest on Healthy Alternatives.
Next week, my guest is going to be Angela Busio. She is a master energy therapist. She has a number one best-selling book that she co-authored of How Did You Do That? She's a television radio host and a powerful facilitator and coach. Her work empowers others to manage their own negative, stressful emotional patterns, and she's using state-of-the-art solutions to do that. Angela is the founder of RealStressSolutions.com. It's an inbox magazine and an amazing new program called Turn Stress to Success that features innovative 5-minute stress solutions. And we're going to be talking to Angela about the whole concept of stress and how you can really take charge of that in your life. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you've been listening to me on webtalkradio.net, and you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. You can also go to teplitz.com to learn more about the speaking that I do as well. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.